ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, and welcome once again to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Vishu and so happy to be with you on this lovely Thursday morning to continue our series Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. In the last so many episodes, we have been going back to those beautiful 40s and 50s of Bhagwan's life. When I started this Satyam Shivam Sundaram series in Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, I thought I will focus on the years 1950, 51, 52, 53, 54, 55, those early first half of the 50s. Because in 1950, Bhagwan gifted the world the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir. It happened on November 23rd, 1950. And I thought that was one landmark watershed moment in the Satya Sai saga. And it would be interesting to document, recount and contemplate on the events that happened after Prashanthi Nilayam came into being. But as I was reading and trying to collect various accounts from different books and different people who have had the opportunity to be there during that period, I discovered so many beautiful tales from the times even before the 50s, from the times of the old Mandir or the Patha Mandir as they say. And in the last few episodes, even as I have been sharing with you the stories of the 50s, early 50s, I have been also taking you back to the times of late 40s. And that is what I will do today also, because as I come across these beautiful tales, I do not want all of you to miss these lovely accounts, because those were the times when every moment people who were in physical proximity of Bhagwan were witnessing something so stunning, something so bewildering, something which was beyond their comprehension. That is how it was with Bhagwan all the time. But in the early years, as Bhagwan said, the early years, it was full of leelas, just like it was in the Krishna avatar. All the beautiful stories that you hear about Krishna, they are in the times when Krishna was little. He vanquishing all those demons in the Kaliya Mardana and Putana Vadha. Everything was when Krishna was just very little. Those were the times Krishna was letting everyone know who he is. For those who have the eyes to see and the mind to think and the heart to feel. And it was the same if you look at the early years of the Satya Sai saga. Every day there was something stunning, something absolutely out of the world happening. And people who were focused on Bhagwan, people who were able to grasp the immensity of what they were witnessing, knew in their midst the personality who is there is the one who is the orchestrator of the entire creation. There are a few people who have left some accounts for us. We have books written by Srimati Vijayamma. Anyatha Sharanam Nasti, you have books like Sri Satyasai Anandadai. And there are a few other such scripts by Srimati Rani Subramanyam. It's called Atma Bandhu. Not many probably will have this book. Sometime back you also had the book Sri Satyasai Madhura Smriti. Like this, there are just a few accounts, and these are just drops of what people experienced during that time. In the last few weeks, I've been also sharing with you stories from the book The Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba, written by Srimati Nagamani Purnaya. She was the wife of the chief commercial officer of railways in the pre-independence time during the 1947-1948 time during the British period in India. And some of the tales that she has left for us are so interesting, and as you read them, you come to realize how Bhagwan always mentioned that his leelas are not for pradarshan, they are for nidarshan. They are not for show, they are for demonstration of the power. It was to let people realize who they are and in whose midst they are in. This was the purpose, Bhagwan said. Sometime in those 40s, there was a devotee of Shirdi Sai Baba who did not believe that Satya Sai is Shirdi Sai. He did not believe that Satya Sai is the second incarnation of the same Sai principle. But this devotee was very devout to Shirdi Baba, and he had actually built a temple for Shirdi Sai, and he was staying in the temple. One day a young man came there, and this young man was singing many songs, and these were songs which were usually sung by Satya Sai. He had heard Satya Sai singing those songs, even though he did not believe that Satya Sai is Shirdi Sai. And he started wondering, how is this person singing all these songs which are generally sung by Satya Sai Baba? And so his curiosity was aroused, and he wanted to know how this man knows all these songs. And so he asked him, how is it that you can sing these songs? Who taught you these songs? And the singer replied, oh, these songs, they just rise from within me. Nobody taught me. And he continued to sing. And after some time, after he finished singing, the singer asked the devotee, can you give me something to eat because I am really very hungry? And the devotee said, well, I have not cooked any new food, but I have few chapatis and chutney. If you want, I can share them with you. And so both the devotee and the singer went into the temple. The singer was in the front and the devotee was following him. And they went and he had the food. And after some time, both of them stepped out of the temple. Again, the singer was in the front and the devotee was following him. And the devotee says, Even as he was watching the singer in the front, suddenly the singer, in the twinkling of an eye, just disappeared. And when that happened, it left the devotee completely startled, and he thought, oh my God, how foolish I am, I didn't realize. And he knew who the singer was and the reason why he said these songs arise from within me. And from that day, he knew Shirdi Sai and Satya Sai are basically the same Sai. So in those days, people who were not aware of the Trine principle of the Sai Saga, Bhagwan in his own ways was letting people know about his advent. Talking about singing, I'm reminded of one revealing incident that happened in 1952. Let's now move to 1952. Maybe we'll go back to 40s again towards the end of this session, but in 1952, Bhagwan was now staying in the newly built Prashanti Nilayam Mandir, and devotees would stay in the Pata Mandir, in the old Mandir, and they would come to the Prashanti Nilayam premises for the bhajan sessions. And one day when the singing was going on, Bhagwan suddenly asked the devotees to stop, and he singled out one lady, Miss Rani Subramanyam, and Swami asked, "Do you sing?" And she said, "Yes, Swami, but I do not know Carnatic music. I can only sing Hindustani style." And she thought that Bhagwan liked only South Indian music, given that Swami used to himself sing Tyagaraja Kirtana, she thought Hindustani music probably would not be of appeal to Swami. But Swami looked at her and said, "Does not matter. You sing any song, you sing any bhajan, no problem." So spontaneously she sang a bhajan that she had learnt some time ago, and the bhajan was all about chanting the Lord's name incessantly, realizing the ephemeral nature of the world. That was the essence of the bhajan. So she sang that bhajan and Bhagwan was happy, and the bhajan session ended. And the next day, during the bhajan session, Swami again looked at her and Swami said, "Can you sing the bhajan, what you sang yesterday?" And the lady obeyed Bhagwan's command and she sang the same song. And the session went on fine. Bhagwan seemed happy. And then came the third day. And she thought, "Every day now Swami is asking me to sing. Let me be prepared with a new bhajan, a new song, because Swami seemed to like my singing. He's asking me to sing." So she was ready with another song. And as expected, Bhagwan noticed her and Swami told her, "Can you sing?" And when she was about to start singing the new song, Swami said, no, sing that old bhajan, sing that same bhajan, what you sang yesterday." And she said, "Okay." And she sang the same song. She had sung the same bhajan 3 days in a row now. And she was happy, but she was wondering, it would have been nice that if Swami would have given her the chance to sing some other bhajan, because she was prepared. But she let it be, okay, that is Swami's will. So on the fourth day, now she thought, "Today, if Swami asked me to sing again, definitely I will sing the other bhajan. It's been 3 days and I've been singing the same bhajan." And just as she expected, on the fourth day also Swami wanted her to sing. And when she was about to start with all joy, Swami stopped her. No, Swami said, "Sing that old bhajan." Now, she did that. She complied, but she was now getting a little frustrated. "Swami, what is this? You're not allowing me to sing something else. I'm happy you're giving me chance to sing, but every day I'm singing the same bhajan. I know so many other bhajans, Swami." That's what she was thinking in his mind. 4 days had gone in this manner, and the fifth day, when the same thing repeated, She just boldly got up and she said, Swami, I know many other bhajans. Shall I sing something else? And Swami flatly just dismissed her suggestion and Swami said, no need. Sing the same bhajan. Same bhajan. Now with no option, she just reconciled to the divine command. And that is how 5 days went by. A few days later, Bhagwan asked a group of 5 ladies to clean the first floor of the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. In those days, after the Mandir was inaugurated, there was still a lot of work to be done. And that's the reason why devotees were not staying in the Prashanti Nilayam Mandir. They used to still stay in the Patha Mandir, in the old Mandir, and come to Prashanti Nilayam for bhajans. And there were slowly little changes, little modifications. There was continuous work going on. So one day Swami had asked this group of ladies to clean the first floor of the Mandir premises, and she was among them. And as she went about doing the work, Swami suddenly sauntered into the room. He suddenly walked in and there was a song on Bhagwan's lips. And interestingly, the song that Swami was singing was the same song that he had asked Ms. Rani Subramaniam to sing 5 days continuously in a row. The first line of the song was Ramanam Japanari. And Swami was now singing this, humming this. And Ms. Rani Subramaniam thought, what is this? He made me sing this a million times. And now as he's coming here, he is also singing the same thing. Why does he want to bore me with the same bhajan? Of course, she didn't say anything. She dared not say anything to Swami, but she just looked at Swami really puzzled and wide-eyed. And Swami looked at her and Swami said, I know. You are wondering why I am singing the same bhajan, right? Swami said, I am singing this repeatedly because this song has the essence of all knowledge. If only you can assimilate this knowledge, there is nothing more you need to do. You would have attained your spiritual goal. So Swami was singing this bhajan and made her sing the same bhajan again and again, again and again, because Swami now said, if you can internalize this bhajan, you don't need to know anything else. Everything is there in this bhajan. And it is because Bhagwan wanted that spiritual growth and understanding in her that Swami continuously made her to sing that song. And when she heard that from Bhagwan's lips, that's when she realized, oh my God, how lightly I take his actions. How foolishly I was thinking, Swami, why are you making me sing this once again and again? And why are you now boring me? Why are you also humming me? Are you teasing me? You know. And here Swami is telling, I am asking you to sing that again and again because that song was coming only from your lips. It is not sinking into your soul. If that happens, you don't need to learn anything else. And after Bhagwan said that, for the first time she looked at the meaning of that song with seriousness. And the meaning of the song said, chant the name of Rama always, O man, as long as you are breathing. You think this is my money, my house, and so on. But once the breath stops, nothing is yours. Mother, father, friend, all is but your imagination. In fact, the whole world is your imagination. It is a projection of your mind. All relationships exist, but they are relatively real, not in absolute terms. You are only playing a role. You will have to leave your kith and kin. In the end, it is only a dream. So chant the name of Rama always, O man, chant the name of Rama always. This is what the meaning of the song was. And as she contemplated on the meaning of the song, that's when she realized why Swami said, if you can only internalize this, you don't need to sing anything else, you don't need to know anything else, you would have attained your spiritual goal. Because the song is telling, the whole world is just a projection of your mind, it's your imagination. Everything is just relatively real, that is not real. And what you are doing is you are just playing a role. Everything is a dream. Realize this. And Mrs. Rani Subramaniam, reflecting on this years later, she was saying, here the end does not mean realization will come only after death. It means we will awaken from this everyday daydream when we realize that life is a dream. Dream is not just what we see in the nights. Even during the day, what we are going through is a daydream. We have to awaken from this dream, from the everyday daydream. And this awakening will happen once we realize that this life is a dream. When we awaken to our true self, when that realization happens, then this world will stop bothering us. The world which is bothering us will just not exist. When it does not exist, how can you be bothered by it? That is the goal, that is the realization that will happen. And in fact, after that day, this song became the song of her life. Whenever she had the opportunity to talk about Bhagwan, she would invariably sing this song. In fact, in one interview, Swami told her, listen, there is no problem for me to come down to your level and understand your problem. Because I have no problem. But I don't understand your problems at all. Because there really is no problem. Swami told her. See, I can come to your level, I can understand your problem. As Swami is telling, I will understand your problem because I have no problem. So I am capable to understand every problem of yours. But what I do not understand is your problems, Swami said. And truly, there really is no problem. And she says, I understood the real meaning of this message only when I contemplated on this song. Crisis is our own making and we have to solve it. No one else can do it for us. And how to solve it was also explained to her by Bhagwan. Swami told her, you are constantly thinking of the problem. Hence I cannot help you. If you are constantly thinking of the problem, I cannot help you. If you cease to think of it, then I can help you. If you are thinking on the problem, then I cannot help, Swami is telling. You stop thinking about the problem. Then I will help you. When you forget your problem and keep your mind fixed on me and constantly chant my name, you contact me, Swami said. When you forget your problem and you fix your mind not on the problem but on me, Swami says, then you contact me, if you keep your mind fixed on me and constantly chant my name, then you contact me. And when you chant my name, that divine name is like an arrow that will go from you to Swami, Swami said. When you chant his name, it will go like an arrow from you to Bhagwan. How do you contact Swami? By repeating his name, Bhagwan revealed. If we have a problem, we should not think about the problem. Swami is telling, if you are constantly thinking about the problem, then I cannot help you. You have to stop thinking about the problem, chant his name and think of him. Then, automatically, the problem will find solution because you have contacted the one who can solve any problem of the world. And that is why chanting the name, singing the bhajans is so important and so cleansing, so essential and so vital for any person who is on the spiritual path. If you are Sai devotee, Sai bhajans is something that should become the part of our life, should become like our breath. Because constantly if you are chanting the name, we are connecting to him. And if you are connecting to him, then he is taking over our problems. He is taking over our lives. When we have the ultimate problem solver to deal with anything of our lives, why should we try to do it ourselves foolishly with our limited minds and limited resources and energy, when we can tap the unlimited in every way? And bhajan singing has remained one constant activity in Prashantanilayam and in Sai centers everywhere. And I think it's this reason why every time you sit for bhajans, you feel so light after every bhajan session. You feel you are in a different world altogether because he completely took over.
Ramakrishna Hari, Mukunda Murari. జయ పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, జయ పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, జయ పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, జయ పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి, రామకృష్ణ హరి ముకుంద మురారి, పాండురంగ హరి, పాండురంగ హరి.
You don't want these bhajan sessions to end, isn't it? That is how powerful they are. And that is how solidly they can melt all our problems. They become such powerful conduits to connect with the infinite. In her first visit to Prashantinilayam, Swami instructed Miss Rani Subramaniam to be always engaged in good company, in satsang, and spend time participating in Bhagavad Gita classes and so on. In the 50s, in Delhi, where she used to reside then, there were no Satya Sai organization, there were no samitis. So she asked Swami if she could go to the Ramakrishna Math, because Swami told her, engage in satsanga, in good company, and she thought, where can I go? It's better to associate with some spiritual organization. And she asked Swami if it was okay for her to go to the Ramakrishna Math, and Swami said, yes, it's a good place, go to the Ramakrishna Mission, participate in all their study circles and talks. And the Ramakrishna Math regularly held Gita and Upanishad classes, and so she used to attend them diligently. And during special days such as the Holy Mother's birthday or Sri Ramakrishna's birthday, the Math sought good bhajan singers for the big functions that would be organized for larger audience. And when Mrs. Rani Subramaniam's sister came to know of this, she told the organizers that my sister sings very well. If you would like her to sing, I will check with her. So the organizers readily agreed. And in one of those special occasions, Mrs. Rani Subramaniam sang devotional songs, songs on Meera, songs of Meera, Surdas and others. And her soulful rendition was such a big success. It was so much widely appreciated by everyone. And after that, she used to be invited regularly for every public function in the Math. And she used to oblige. She used to like to sing all these devotional songs. And of course, since she became a regular singer there, many more people came to know of her talent, and now there were more requests. Her schedule got very busy for many programs. And it was during this time that her sister came to Prashantinilayam. She had come alone. Swami called her in and Swami said, ask your sister whether she wants to realize herself or does she want name and fame. If she wants the former, she must stop singing in public and sing only in her puja room. I find her going everywhere. This is what Swami told Ms. Rani Subramaniam's sister in Prashantinilayam. Rani Subramaniam was in Delhi, and apart from them experiencing the omnipresence of Bhagwan, the message that came from Swami was something which made Rani Subramaniam think a lot now she knew that whenever she was going to the shrine room and she was talking to Swami, Swami definitely was listening to everything. He knows everything that is happening in her life. Now she knew that Swami is the inner self. Swami is aware of every thought, word and deed. And she cannot do anything without Swami's knowledge. That is impossible now. And of course, when you are living in this awareness that He is watching you and He is present with you in every single moment of what you are doing, then your whole approach to life and living changes. For instance, if someone gets angry with you, also you will respond only politely because you feel, no, Swami is watching, Swami is watching, Swami is there. When you know that He is aware every moment. And of course, after her sister conveyed Bhagwan's message to her, she immediately stopped going out for any performances, no more performances. But at the same time, she used to feel a tinge of sadness, and she used to think, after all, I was singing only bhajans. I was not even singing classical songs, let alone any other popular songs. But why did Swami stop me? I was only singing devotional songs. And when she contemplated further on it, she got the answer. Once Bhagwan had told her, I don't guide everyone. I do it only for those who ask for it. In your case, you ask me for guidance in everything, small or big. So I interfere in everything and guide you. We don't know what is best for our spiritual progress. What problems could likely come which could hinder our spiritual growth? Here is someone who is constantly watching and constantly steering us in a way that our journey on the spiritual path is smooth. And she says, as far as my singing was concerned, I did not understand it then. I thought it was not as if I was singing radio programs. I was only singing songs on God. But then I realized I must live only for God. I have to renounce everything. I have to renounce everything that belongs to the realm of I and mine. I have to go back to the essence of the bhajan that Swami asked me to sing again and again, again and again. She says, there I found all the answers. That bhajan was Om Mangalam, Om Kara Mangalam, Guru Mangalam, Guru Pada Mangalam, Ram Nama Japanari, Ram Nama Japanari, Jab Tak Swash Rahe Tanu Bhitar, Tab Tak Ye Jag Apanare. Ram Naam Japanari, Ram Naam Japanari, Mata Pita Suta Bandhavanari, Jhuti Jagat Kalpana Sari, Akhir Ye Jag Sapnare, Ram Naam Japanari. Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jaya Jaya Jai Ram, Om Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Sai Ram. This was the song, and as I mentioned before, the meaning said, Om is the primordial sound, the most auspicious. Guru is auspicious, His feet are auspicious. Chant the name of Lord Rama, chant Rama's name repeatedly as long as there is breath in your body. Till then, this world is yours. As long as the breath is there, till then this world is yours. Just keep chanting the name of Lord Rama. All the relations and relatives, father, mother, friends, in reality they are unreal. They are just imagination. The world is after all a dream. Knowing this, chant the name of Lord Rama. Victory to Lord Rama. Chant His name. Chant the name of Sai. Chant His name. Chant His name. Let there be peace. It is not important how melodiously we sing His glory. What matters is if our life has added a melody to His glory. And this realization came to her once she accepted Bhagwan's command, and she went back to the song again and again, again and again. In fact, there's a very beautiful song that used to be sung in the early years in Prashanthi Nilayam. Mr. Raja Reddy used to sing it, and the meaning of that song also is on the similar lines. Just listening to it fills you with vairagya, fills you with the strong feeling of renunciation and sacrifice. It purifies you.
योगी बन कर जाना है, योगी बन कर जाना है, मन प्रेम की राख लगाने, तन में प्रेम की राख लगाने, तन में प्रेम की राख लगाने, तन से योगी बन कर जाना है, योगी बन कर जाना है, काम क्रोध मद मोह माया से, काम क्रोध मद मोह माया से ढूंढत है सबको, ढूंढत है सबको, मिथ्या ही से जगत झुलाना, मिथ्या ही से जगत झुलाना, मिथ्या ही से जगत झुलाना, सत्य न जानत को, सत्य न जानत को, सत्य धर्म अरु शांति प्रेम से, सत्य धर्म अरु शांति प्रेम से, साई चरणों बल जाए, साई चरणों बल जाना है, सत्य साई चरणों बल जाए।
मीन्स जोगी बनकर जाना है, प्रेम की राख लगा ले तन पे, यू हैव टू बिकम ए जोगी, यू हैव टू बिकम ए योगी, देर इज नो अदर वे, एंड यू हैव टू अप्लाई द सीक्रेट ऐश ऑफ लव ऑन योर बॉडी। प्रेम की राख लगा ले तन पे, काम क्रोध मद मोह माया से ढूंढत है सब कोई, एवरीबडी इज grappling with these vices of kama, krodha, lobha, lust, anger, greed. This whole world is unreal. Mithya he say jagat jhulana, satyana janat koi, nobody knows the truth. Satya dharma or shanti prema se, with truth, righteousness, peace and love, just fall at the feet of Sai, Sai charano. पड़ जाना है। दिस इज वॉट सो ब्यूटिफुली दे हैव सांग टू भगवान इन दोज अर्ली ईयर्स। इन फैक्ट इट रिमाइंड्स मी ऑफ वन लिटिल स्टोरी विच अनफोल्डेड इन दोज अर्ली टाइम्स इन द 40s। वंस व्हेन श्रीमती नागमणि पूर्णया वॉज इन पुट्टपर्ति, सम ऑफ हर रिलेटिव्स हैड कम फॉर स्वामी दर्शन, and in that group there was a little girl 8 years old. And Swami called all these members of the group to accompany him to the Chitravati riverbed. The little child who had come, she also ran and fetched the slippers for Swami. When Bhagwan said all of them to come, she was the one who ran ahead and got the slippers for Bhagwan to wear. And Swami was so happy. Swami asked her, "What do you want?" And she said, "Swami, I don't want anything. I just want your feet. Just please take me at your feet." And Swami said, "What is it that you are asking for? Why are you asking for this? You are such a little girl. Why do you want to march at my feet? You should get married. You have to grow up. You should have your children. You should have your family. Why are you asking for this now? Why are you thinking of dying?" And it was almost as if she was expecting this question. She was ready. She said, "No, Swami, I don't like to be in this samsara. I don't want to be in this world, in this family life and everything. There is no happiness in this. I see so many women suffering and I don't want to be one among them." The little girl, 8 year old, she just said that. Almost as if she had thought about it and she knew what she was speaking. And she said that and she just started crying bitterly and she fell at Swami's feet. And she said, "Swami, you please take me, you please take me." And Swami became so tender looking at her. And Swami asked the girl, "See, you have no father. If you also die, will not your mother be very sad?" And the girl said, "Swami, my mother should cry for me only if I get married and go to my mother-in-law's house. Then my mother can cry for me. But why should she cry when I am going to you, when I am reaching your feet? That is no reason for my mother to cry." She said that. And after staying for a week in Puttaparthi, being with Swami, this child returned with her mother to Bangalore. And 5 days later, Bhagwan got a telegram that the child has merged at his feet. And Srimati Nagmani Purnaya met her mother in Bangalore later and asked what happened to that girl. She was so healthy, everything was fine when we saw her at Puttaparthi. And the mother said, "After reaching Bangalore, my girl told me that I don't want to go to school. It was a Thursday and she said, 'Today I don't want to go to school.' And she just asked from me a rupee and she went to the market and she bought puja items. She did the puja to Swami in her own little way and she ate the prasadam, whatever she offered to Bhagwan. And then she came and told me, 'I'm not feeling well.' And she went and she lay down. And even before we could ask a doctor to come, she had merged at Bhagwan's feet." Way back in 1952, when Bhagwan's relative was not there, one of the husbands of Swami's sister left. Sudden death had taken away Bhagwan's sister's husband and the entire family and villagers were grief-stricken. In a few hours after the burial, Swami was seen seated on the low porch wall of the family house facing the road that leads to Prashantinilayam. And the bereaved sister was wailing pathetically from inside the house. Her little son with his grandmother was in front of Bhagwan, and there was a semicircle of the father, mother, sister, brothers, and everyone was in deep sorrow. And they looked at Bhagwan, and Swami only actually just smiled, and Swami said, "What? If there is no death and if there is no birth, how will I spend my time?" This was Bhagwan's declaration way back in 1952. And here you see the one who is the master of time responding to the purest desire of a little one. It came with so much of purity, perhaps, with so much of sincerity, that the Lord perhaps had to change her destiny, oblige to her because of her intensity and clarity. There are many more such amazing moments that Srimati Nagamani Purnaya has mentioned in her book, The Divine Leelas of Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. A 16-year-old girl was an ardent devotee of Bhagwan. Though she was very ill, she never forgot to do puja to Swami. And she used to pass all her time looking at Bhagwan's photo. And she used to forget her ailment just looking at Bhagwan. Swami visited her house on a Thursday, and Swami also took Srimati Nagamani Purnaya along with him. When Swami went to her house, Swami waved his hand in, and Swami materialized two dosas. And those two dosas, they were so delicious, they tasted of pure ghee, and Swami gave them to her to eat. And even though she had not been able to eat any food for many days, she ate one of those dosas with great joy, with great relish, and she gave one more to all her relatives. And Swami spent some time and gave so much joy to that girl. And when they were returning, Srimati Nagamani Purnaya asked Swami, "Swami, would you come again to see this girl next Thursday? Will you come again the next Thursday?" And Swami said, "Where will she be next Thursday for me to come?" And the way things unfolded, the girl's health deteriorated, and the doctors told her parents that she would not live for long. And the very next Thursday, she became unconscious. Those around her saw a mysterious sight. They saw a bright light appearing at her feet and traveling through her body to her head and disappearing at the head. And when this happened, she just got up as if she was in sound sleep, and she said, "Swami had come, Swami had come, Swami had come." And for a moment, everything was like she's completely all right. All her illness had just gone off. She appeared to have been cured of all her problems. And then a few minutes later, she called her parents and asked them to call all the relatives near her. She got up, she had her bath, she did puja to Bhagwan, and then she informed everyone that, "I am going to Swami. Please don't cry for me." And she said, "I am going to be very happy because I am going to be with Swami." And told everyone, "Don't forget to worship Swami, to do puja on Thursdays." So saying, she lay down on her bed. It was 11 o'clock in the night. She said, "Swami is calling me. I'm going." And she just closed her eyes. She was so peaceful and happy at death. And it was at that time, the people who were with Bhagwan in Madras, Swami was in Madras then, they said that Swami suddenly fell down in a trance. In those days, Swami should leave his body and go. Swami had earlier given this girl a Vishnu Pada, an image of Vishnu's feet, which she had always kept under her pillow. And as soon as breath left her being, the Vishnu Pada also rose up to the roof and disappeared. In fact, everyone saw this. They saw this with wonder and thrill. And Srimati Nagmani Purnaya says, if you believe in Swami, even in death, you can be so happy and blissful. And this is what Swami was telling Rani Subramanyam, understand what you are singing. Know that everything is so ephemeral. Focus on that which is eternal. And leave everything to me. Keep only me as your goal and see how glorious your life becomes. So many powerful lessons. The people who were fortunate to be with Swami in those days were direct recipients of this. We are grateful to Swami that at least we are able to recount, relive some of those beautiful moments. And as we relive these moments, let us realize where we are, what we should do, and spend our time seeking only that, seeking which we don't need to seek anything else. Thank you so much, dear listeners, and we'll continue this in the coming episodes of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. It's a great joy to share with you the stories from Bhagwan's life in this series, Satyam, Shivam, Sundaram. If you know of any more accounts, if you come across some beautiful stories from the early 40s, 50s, please feel free to share. Let's distribute this prasadam with everyone in the world. You can send your feedback, your comments to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us on our WhatsApp number 9393-258-258. If you want to write anything personally to me, you can write to Bishu, B-I-S-H-U, @radiosai.org. Offering this little endeavor at his lotus feet with all gratitude and humility, I take your leave. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.